storm, have you repeated the same storms over and over? And it seemed like, how come I can't get past this storm? Because you hadn't learned the lesson of the storm. And here are the disciples. Can I paint the picture? They're in the second storm. Same scene, same storm. Back up, John chapter 8. They were in the same storm, but Jesus was on the boat, sleep at the bottom. This time in Matthew chapter 14, they're in the same scene, same storm, but Jesus is going to pray. The disciples, remember, they've been fighting the winds and the waves. They're mentally and physically fatigued. They're tired, they're frustrated. Some of them was probably cussing. Don't play with me. Some of them was probably out there saying some things that you can't say in church, Pastor. Some folks were probably saying some stuff that ought not ever be repeated. But the truth of the matter is that while they were out there, yes, sir, while they were out there fighting in the water, they looked across and they saw an image of a ghost. That's what the Bible says. They said, and it looked like something that was on this way to come and get them. They saw a ghost, and the ghost scared them. But from the direction of the apparition, the Bible says that a voice spoke to the tempest that was raging on their souls and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And I want to tell somebody in here that Jesus is talking, and you just have to listen and make sure that you recognize his voice. He's telling you, don't be afraid. Because while you thought you were in it by yourself, I'm walking through it with you. I'm reminded, that reminds me, God help me, that reminds me of when I was in high school. The teacher passed out some tests. And when the teacher passed out the test, she in turn walked out the room. And so everybody started looking around, wondering, where did the teacher go? So we started taking the test, and people were whispering. We taking the test, and people were looking. And I remember distinctly looking at the front door in that rectangular window, and the teacher was looking to see who she was going to. And I need some real folks to say, you know, I've been there, preacher. I've been there. Because I thought that I was by myself, but the teacher was looking at me to see had I learned the lesson from the test. So here it is, 12 disciples, but only one recognized the voice. 12 disciples, but only one knew it was Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, then command me to come. The Bible says Jesus said, come. Peter steps out of the boat and begins to be a water walker. I'll preach that sermon another time. But let's congratulate Peter for the magnificent demonstration of his faith. Because Peter was just fighting the winds and the waves. Peter was just frustrated with the boys that was in the boat. Peter thought he saw a ghost, and he recognized the calming tone of Jesus and said, Lord, if it's really you, then command me to come. And what I love about this is that Peter didn't move until he got a word from the Lord. The truth of the matter is so many of us are trying to move faster than the word that's been spoken. Some of us are trying to move before the Lord tells us what we need to do. Peter didn't step out on his own, but he waited on the command of the Lord so that he could walk on the word. And that's a word for somebody in here, that you've been waiting on the Lord, but he hasn't spoken to you yet. Don't you move until he gives you the command, so that way you can walk on the word. Is there anybody in here that's been waiting to walk on the word? He's been trying to tell you something, but we haven't been listening. He's been trying to speak to us, but we haven't been listening. Because we're so quick to move instead of waiting on the command to say, come, come, come. And so what Peter does, he begins to step out on the water and he walks to Jesus. And that's a word for somebody in here. Because the reality is you're waiting. You're waiting for something to transpire in your life. And it's okay for you to say, Lord, if it's really you. Because see, you don't want to be caught up in the wrong stuff if it really ain't the Lord. Because everything that talks to you ain't God. Everything that talks to you ain't got nothing to do with God. The truth of the matter is that we need to say, Lord, if it's really you. Lord, I don't want to marry this joker if it ain't really you. Lord, I don't want to be in a relationship with this joker if it really ain't you. Lord, I don't want to invest my money into this bank if it really ain't you. I don't want to vote for the wrong person on November 6th if it ain't really you. The truth of the matter is we need to check with God before we make a move. How do I know that? The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Can I ask you a question? Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. So Peter's unusual request to come out and step out into unfavorable conditions so he can get to Jesus was demonstrated in his faith. Remember, he's mentally and physically fatigued, but Peter doesn't mind stepping out of his safe haven away from others so he can get to Jesus. Peter steps out of the boat and look at the scene that surrounds Peter. He has sovereignty in front of him, reality around him, instability beneath him, and boat talkers behind him. Y'all missed it. Let me rewind, press play. He has sovereignty in front of him, reality around him, instability beneath him, and boat talkers behind him. And Peter is walking on the water, and Peter gets distracted because of the scene that surrounds him. God, help me preach like I feel it. And the truth of the matter is distractions can cause us to lose our ability to focus. Because when we're listening to too much and looking at too much, we tend to lose focus on the site in which we're going. We have to learn how to look and continue to stay focused on where God is taking us to. And so the Bible says that Peter got distracted, began to sink, and said, Lord, save me. So the question of the text is this: why did you doubt? I got 2 points and I'm done. Why did you doubt? Number one, Peter ain't the only one to doubt because we doubt. But the reality is we doubt because we lose focus from the reality on the realities that's around us. We lose focus when faced with the realities that are around us. Peter is walking on the water. The Bible don't say it, but in my sanctified analysis, I can hear the boat talkers talking to Peter.